Cricket on the brain 24/7, 365. Well, every Monday, Corbin Middlemass and ex-test opener Ed Cowan join forces on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
And I watch him bat and I think it's like Brian Lara on steroids.
Featuring the best analysis and biggest results.
We're not better off trying to blood someone else in a series like this.
And the stories that have your cricket thread popping off.
So if I'm buying the Renegades, why would I want to purchase that?
ABC Cricket Podcast, every Monday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Because there's no off-season in cricket.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
I was expecting, or we were expecting that our Prime Minister, Mr Albanese, would give everyone a day off. So people didn't need to scramble to find a TV set wherever they can to watch it.
Socceroos assistant coach Paul O'Connor, and it's hard to argue with him. I reckon we do deserve a day off because everyone's going to be watching this game anyway. Aussie fans are just unsure about which 11 players they'll be watching. Coach Tony Popovich, he's definitely not going to tell us. In fact, no one from the Aussie camp will. So who should the Socceroos pick as we ready for Paraguay? We're asking one of the sharpest minds in the game, Socceroos legend Mark Schwarzer. He has at least one surprise pick. We're also going to talk a little bit of Ronaldo, he rose, and a bit of England. They spluttered. All of it's coming up. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Socceroos legend Mark Schwarzer is here to preview the Socceroos clash with Paraguay. Mark, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm going well. Since the last time we spoke, Australia has processed the defeat to the United States, and the focus is on the South Americans. So rather than guess who Tony Popovich will pick, clearly a fool's errand, we want your 11 for the challenge. Maybe give us your team, and we're going to zoom in and zoom out as we go.
Anyone's guess, really, but let's give it a go.
So who are you seeing as your likely goalkeeper back three if you're posing yourself up for the challenge with Paraguay?
This is a really a dilemma for me because Patrick Beech, I think, has done really well. Certainly in the first game was absolutely outstanding. And also second game against the US, I thought it was just one of those games where not a lot could have been done necessarily. Maybe the first goal could have been a little bit more, confident in his decision-making, whether he dived for the ball or didn't cut back across to try and make the save. But look, they're minor details, but we're talking about a World Cup. We're talking about international level and experience and so forth. So that's why I think it's harsh on Patrick Beech, but I would go for the experience. I would put Matty Ryan back in goal. Leader, captain, incredible amount of experience, and I think he'll be completely up for the game and ready to perform at a level. And I think the level you need right now is about also the cool head, the experience in like a final. It's a final within the World Cup finals for us.
That's a massive call in goal, Mark. I think a lot of people would be shocked just given what we saw in the first game against Turkey. Be you just leaning on the experience of a guy who has played 100-plus times for the Socceroos?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. It's the moment. It's the occasion. It's our biggest game to date. So it's about getting the result you need to progress through the knockout stages. And I feel that you need to try and find any little area where you may be able to get a little bit of a slight advantage. And the slight advantage is that Matty Ryan has got the experience. And that's no fault of Patrick Beech whatsoever. I think he's been excellent in the tournament. He's been, you know, a revelation. He's been sensational in that first game. I just feel with that experience of Matty Ryan, the extra bit of leadership quality, I think that could be a slight advantage for him. And so I'd be considering putting him in the lineup. Well, for me, he'd be my lineup.
Rolling through to the back three, Burgess, Chakati, Suter, that's been the sort of foundation for the Socceroos over the first 180 minutes. Are you seeing in the Mark Schwarzer 11 any change there?
No, I don't. I see the same three. And there's a reason for it. You know, I know Cameron Burgess came off at halftime against the USA, purely tactical, I believe. Yes, he scores an own goal, but look, centre-halves, players do score own goals every now and then. And I think Cameron Burgess has been part of that three-man wall that did so, so well against Turkey. And I would stick with that. And there's a reason later on in my selections as to why I would stick with those three. The two wing-backs, Italiano and Boss, I would stick with as well. Look, I think Jordi Boss is someone that's highly rated and has done really, really well and really come into his own in the Socceroos jersey. So for me, he's a nailed-on left wing-back. And I think Italiano has done really well. I've liked what I've seen from him. High energy, quick, And I think he's done well in the side so far. So I would also keep him as right wing back. My two centre midfielders in Oakley-Insler and O'Neill, again, I would keep it exactly the same because I believe that the two of them under pressure have done really well. They've worked well together. They've broken up play well. And then obviously distribution has been really key as well. I think Oakley-Insler in particular, you look at that first game against Turquia, again, having an outlet up front, and that's what I'll come to. The two wide men, Aaron Kunda for me has to come back in the side. I think you have to try and play your best possible team. Our best performance was against Turquia, and I'm kind of contradicting myself a little bit in terms of saying, well, then Patrick Beach comes out, but Manny Ryan goes in. But that's the added experience as well. And I said it before the tournament as well, Manny Ryan's been in the form of his life. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think that would be a pretty smooth transition. And I also think, like I said, Matty would add that extra cool head, extra experience in goal for this game because it's such a big game. I'm kind of torn. I would certainly, Connor Metcalf has been excellent as well, did so well in that first game. Thought was pretty good when he came on against the US as well, but in very difficult circumstances. But again, when I look at Christian Volpato, the influence that he had in that time.
Volpato, edge of the area, drops the shoulder, looking for the angle to pass or shoot. Good work. Volpato delivers a dangerous ball in the area.
And I know that the manager talked about he's not quite there yet. I'm torn between whether you start Connor Metcalf and then bring on Volpato. And you go with a player that maybe only lasts you 60 minutes. The same was Aaron Kunda. Volpato might only give you 60 minutes, but I think that could put you in a really good position. But you've still also got the ability to bring on someone like Connor Metcalf then if you were to go that way. So I'm sort of torn between those two, but I'd probably stick with Connor Metcalf because I think he did so well in that first game. He brings high energy, very vastly experienced in that position, but I'd certainly be looking, depending on how the game comes on, but one of my first players I'd go to certainly is Volpato. And then up front, Moture, of course. So for me, that's why the back three are key. That wall, I'll call it the wall, that was so good against Turquia. The problem against the US is we didn't really have an out. So every time the ball, we got the ball and tried to look to clear it, or we kind of didn't have the out, we gave the ball back over, so handed it straight back to the US. And then obviously the attacks were relentless. With Aaron Kunda, with Metcalf on your side, with Toure out front, Toure is more than capable of running the channels, holding the ball up, and Aaron Kunda can support him because he's got the pace, and Connor Metcalf has shown the same thing. I just feel that combination worked really, really well. There's an argument to say you bring in someone like Jackson Irvine off the back of the same argument that I used with Matty Ryan coming in goal. But I just feel I like what I'm seeing from Oakley-Insler and O'Neill in centre and midfield, that partnership as well. So I'd like to keep that. That's my 11, really.
So the Schwarzer 11 is Matty Ryan, Burgess, Jaccardi, Suter, Italiano and Boss as the wingbacks, Ocon, Engsler and O'Neill in the centre of midfield, and then a wide duo of Aaron Kunda and Metcalf with Volpato, the likely injection for Metcalf, and of course Moture leading the line. You know, it's a juicy 11. Let's just got to sort of go line by line. From a defensive standpoint, I'm kind of interested, not that I expected you to necessarily inject him into a game like this, but I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen Lucas Harrington at any point.
Yeah, I am as well. I thought he was someone that was really, really big possibility to start in this tournament as well. Maybe the decision to start Patrick Beach in goal with having, you know, little experience at this level, maybe that also had an influence on who we had as his centre-halves. You know, he's brought in, obviously, Harry Suter and Cameron Burgess, who have got extremely huge amounts of experience in the national team, but also Cicatti's played Serie A, right? So he's played at a really, really high level and shown incredible maturity, as has Lucas Harrington. But I feel that maybe having Patrick Beach with limited experience in goal and then another centre-half with limited experience, maybe Popper felt that was too big a demand maybe or didn't feel comfortable with having that kind of lineup. So yeah, I agree with you. I was a little bit surprised as well.
You mentioned Jordy Boss, and I think he's a player that everyone had circled coming into this tournament, saw a number of comparisons to Gareth Bale, you know, Australian Gareth Bale, which is, geez, that is as like fizzy as you can get. I love the idea of that. And we saw glimpses against Turkey, maybe not the performance we would have hoped against the United States from a player of that quality. Do you feel like this could be the game where he could really announce himself to the tournament?
Yeah, 100%. Look, I think the game against the US was, for so many reasons, we talked about it before, you know, the lack of out, the lack of the ability to hold the ball up front, to give service to someone who's up front. Moturo was very isolated for large parts of the game, didn't have the support that he needed to keep hold of the ball, to lay off, didn't have the pace. I think when you look at the Turkey game, the biggest difference was that ability to hit them on the counter-attack with like incredible speed. In Aaron Kunda and Moturo worked the channel, and the two of them, the combinations were exceptional. Conor Metcalf also supporting. I thought we got players more forward in that game, and that was because you're able to get the ball forward, but also someone there was able to hold it up, but also then have real support around him to be able to lay it off and not trying to take on 2-3 players at a time. And that's what we had against the US. We didn't have that support up front. So Motor, I felt for him because I thought he was very, very isolated, and I thought the best opportunity would have been to keep him on at halftime. And then Aaron Kunda was there. And for me, Aaron Kunda as a number nine is definitely not his strengths. For me, his strengths are getting the ball and running at someone, running off people's shoulders, not necessarily his back to play and trying to hold the ball up. And that's what his task kind of ended up being against the US. And then even when you knock balls over the top, if he's isolated just one player, often he's fighting against 2-3 players. That's where it's really, really difficult. And I think for players like Italiano and Boss, they had very limited opportunities to get forward because of that. Because the ball just kept coming back for most of the time.
On Aaron Kunda, it was really interesting to hear. I don't know whether you saw his comments in the mix zone afterwards. It was illuminating, I thought, the fact that he spoke of how disappointed he was. It was refreshing to see that honesty. But he was very clear about the fact that I play for the team, I don't play for myself, but here's why I'm disappointed. This is an opportunity to channel that disappointment into something if he gets another opportunity. Is this, for a young player, a moment to sort of show how you deal with the disappointment on the global stage?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, you're talking, your performances does all your talking, right? So yeah, and then if the performance doesn't allow you to, or you didn't perform, then obviously you've got to talk about it and you've got to explain and you've got to, you know, express your disappointment, dissatisfaction of maybe the way you play personally, but also maybe the way the game unfolded. And I totally get that. But now it's down to performances need to do their talking once again. Like we did in our first game, there was a lot of talk about how Turkey is one of these dark horses of the tournament, how they're going to go on and do something great at the tournament. And the players were really focused, really switched on. I thought everything about that performance was spot on. The tactics was brilliant. I thought the execution was exceptional. The selection of personnel, I think, worked really, really well. That's what they need to go back to. They need to go back to that kind of setup, that kind of attitude, that kind of approach. Paraguay, for me, are a dangerous side. You know, they were very underwhelming against the US, very disappointing. And they themselves admitted the same thing. You know, they were so disappointed with their own performance that it wasn't them. They showed a far better performance against Turkey. And it was a different challenge for them because obviously they started the game very, very well. And then when they go down to 10 men, that becomes a very different ball game. But overall, they showed fight, determination, togetherness, something that we showed very much on that in that first game against Turkey as well. So they're gonna be a real challenge. We've got some real threats up front. That's gonna be tough. However, we get the right personnel on the pitch, we get the right tactics, the boys will be up for it. It's a massive, massive game. We've got to forget about what happened against the USA now. We've got to think about how we're going to win this game against Paraguay, because you want to make sure that you're through to the next round. The best way to do that is to win the game. You win the game, you put yourself in a great position. And that's as plain and simple as it is. You know, the messages that are coming out, they want to play. They're not going to play for a draw.
I don't think we're good enough to go into a game from the first minute, you know, trying to play for a draw. It's never happened before. We've never been in that situation, so it would be really difficult to say, okay, boys, today we don't need to score, so just make sure you draw the game. It's not, like I said, it hasn't been spoken about.
Before a game even starts, it's all about trying to go out there and dominate the game, try and win the game, or at the very least take your chances like we did against Turkey, but set the team up to give yourself a chance to do that. And I think that's what everyone wants. Everyone wants to see a team that's set up and feel like there's a genuine chance to go out there and get a result and not necessarily look like it's kind of a negative setup. And against Turkey, you know, you could feel the excitement from everyone, that the fact that Aaron Kunda's playing on the same team as Moutoure is playing at the same time. You know, they're on the pitch at the same time. There was excitement. Obviously, there was also massive, like, surprise when you see Patrick Beech in goal, Ogun Engsler starting, Connor Metcalf starting, and those sort of things. But I think there was all the justifications. They all backed it up. They all played extremely well. So it was all vindicated, and that's where all the plaudits come from, and that's understandable, and they deserved every bit of it. But then there's also that point of the US game, the disappointment, and even the reservation at the beginning when you saw the team lineup, you thought, okay, this is certainly looks on paper like a more defensive orientated side. It turned out to be that way, the way the performance went. Whether that was intentional or not, we're not sure, but that's how it came across. And I think the general feeling was that as well when you saw the team lineup. For me, it's like you can't rest players. You can't look at trying to rest them for another game. We haven't got the type of players, the quality throughout the whole squad to be able to do that. If you've got players that are hitting form, who are hitting their stride right from game one, you've got to allow them to keep going. You've got to give them that opportunity to still continue that rhythm. And if after game two you get 6 points and you're sure through, then you can start to look at going, okay, I'm going to tweak something in the final game. But now you're finding yourself in a situation where actually, you know, we still really, to be certain of progression, we need to get a result.
You've lived the experience of only needing a point to go through in 2006, that all-time clash with Croatia. Just as a group, what was that feeling like in the dying stages when you're clinging to the point, really?
Look, it's obviously a sense of there are, I don't think desperation. I wouldn't say desperation, but certainly you're willing the final whistle to go, of course, because you know what's at stake, right? And it's the first time we'd ever gone out of the group stage. It's only our second time ever at a World Cup with a squad of players that, look, people today talk about being referred to as the golden generation. You know, how many of us are playing at the top level of the world at that time? How many times we'd failed previously? And the questions of, like, how can that team of that type of quality of players still not qualify for a World Cup? But, you know, we're in this situation where we had an opportunity to rewrite the history books in terms of Australia and at a World Cup, and we were able to do that to a degree.
That confirms it once and for all, and it confirms that Australia, amazingly, the Socceroos, have got the draw, which is going to take them into the last 16.
I still look back at it, a bit of disappointment that we didn't go further than the round of 16, but it is what it is. And I think those moments in that game are very, very special in terms of what was achieved, the satisfaction of going there in a very, very tough group against Brazil, Croatia, Japan. I mean, it's today it's kind of the group of death, right? If you look at that group, that's the group of death today. Even with three teams potentially going through, that is one hell of a group. And we got through it. And that was the enormous satisfaction, that everything you'd worked for fell into place after that final game when that final whistle went.
Two things to hit today from a global point of view. Your boy Ronaldo scored twice against the might of Uzbekistan as Portugal got up 5-0.
Gonçalo. Five in red in the middle. Ronaldo! The farewell may be approaching, but the legend is not finished yet.
The first player, I think, to score at 6 World Cups. It's just records deluxe. And it's all the big names playing the hits so far at this tournament. Is there much to really take away from a Ronaldo brace against Uzbekistan?
Normally I'd say no. But what I would say is the quality of the finishes were brilliant. So, look, I think he's probably had more pressure on his shoulders now than he ever has because of all the criticism. And I was one to say the same thing. I still believe, against better opposition, Portugal are stronger with Ronaldo coming in as an impact player. I still believe that. But his quality of finishing today was exceptional. So, you know, it was a really good run, timed run of the near post, and a really good volley, side volley. And then obviously the second goal where he scored, where he ran through and he managed to place it across the face of the goal into the far corner very, very nicely, very cool.
But it's Portugal on the surge with Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Excellent two finishes for Ronaldo, and he's obviously re-announced himself on the world stage at, you know, what, 41 years old. I mean, that's impressive. You know, it's really impressive. But put into context, it was a Portuguese side that you would expect to progress to beat Uzbekistan. A little bit disappointed with the way that Uzbekistan played to a degree, because I expected more from them, because from, you know, my experiences of playing against Uzbekistan, technically very, very good, and physically they're strong as well. They just didn't quite have enough going forward. I mean, they did score a brilliant goal. Unfortunately, it was a foul. It was ruled out correctly. That could have potentially changed maybe something, certainly momentum. But other than that moment, Uzbekistan really didn't trouble Portugal very much in that game.
England drew nil-all with Ghana. This is what England do at major tournaments. They stumble or splutter in the second game. Like, literally, I think it's like the last four tournaments they've done this. They could have easily copped a penalty late. They were probably somewhat lucky to get away with that. After times of expansive flourish against Croatia, this was flat. They're through to the next stage, I think. Is there much to take from it, really, from an English perspective, or is it just kind of job done, let's keep it moving?
Well, they've still got one more game to go in the group. So they win that, they'll finish top of the group. So long as, you know, goal difference and so forth, but they'll do that, I believe, and then it's still job done. And look, I mean, we've seen it in the past. Teams that have won the World Cup have started with losses, so even worse. You know, when Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia in 2022, like, the world like held its breath and went, "Why, my gosh, what's just happened?"
The South Americans' mammoth 36-game unbeaten run comes to a shuddering halt. And Saudi Arabia celebrates a victory, which will be noted right around the globe.
England obviously was nowhere near as bad as that. I mean, Ghana did hang on for large parts of it. They defended really, really well. Their main objective was to try and get a draw, I believe, with maybe the odd chance to try and hit them on the counter-attack. But they only challenged them a couple of times in the second half, and you're right. And I think Jordan Pickford was probably a little bit fortunate as well when he came outside the box and made the challenge. So I think they got a little bit lucky in some instances, but also, look, Harry Kane blasts over from about 8 yards out, which, even though it was a difficult chance coming high down, I still fancied Harry Kane to score. You know, the guy's been phenomenal. Certainly, well, you know, how many years want to look back? I don't even know. At least the last 5 years, and certainly the two or so years he's been in Germany, if not even 3 years possibly now, he's been incredible, breaking record after record. So I expected him to score. They hit the crossbar. But yeah, they lacked a little bit of extra energy. There was something not quite right with their performance today. But look, I still think England are in a good spot, and I think they've still got a lot to play for, and they can still improve dramatically, and they're going to need to if they're going to go far in this tournament.
The main game for us is Australia v Paraguay. We're going to be having the fortune of picking it all apart in the aftermath with you, Mark Schwarzer. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Headlines, as we mentioned, Ronaldo returned to form as Portugal thumped Uzbekistan 5-0. England's draw meant manager Thomas Tuchel was inevitably asked about the reliance on Harry Kane, who was relatively quiet.
Does Argentina rely too heavily on Messi, and France too heavily on Kylian Mbappé? It's just what it is. So world-class players, and they do normally what they do.
Croatia got its first win of the tournament, a 1-0 victory over Panama in Luka Modric's 200th international cap, while DR Congo held off Colombia as long as they could before the resistance broke and the South Americans took the points. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, World Cup special produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS and FIFA for the extra audio used in this episode.